Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Blue Wire.
Kirk Cousins, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. This was the right call.
Cousins, pressure, hit as he throws, going for Thielen. He's got it! Touchdown! Oh, my!
Up by Diggs.
Stay
up!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. All right, joining me, as always, is Mr. Eric Strack from minnesotasportsfan.com. Eric, have you succumbed to the lack of sports and watched any Korean baseball in the last couple of days?
I have not, and I'm surprised at myself that I haven't watched any Korean baseball yet.
Isn't there a Twins team? I think there's a Twins.
There is a Twins team. I just realized that this morning when I was watching ESPN. So I have a favorite Korean baseball team, and I haven't even watched them yet. I will probably turn it on at some point, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet. For me, the best part about Korean baseball is that it just shows, like, they aren't doing any testing, like, in the Korean Baseball League. So it's just kind of...
They don't have any fans either, right?
No, they don't have any fans, but they're not testing any of the players unless they get sick. So, like, it just kind of kills that whole, like, they talk about the things that we'll need in America to be able to start up sports again.
50,000 tests a
day. Like, we need to give everybody 8 tests a day. No, everybody else is starting sports back up without doing all the testing, like... We need to.
Yeah, I think I saw the German Bundesliga or whatever, the soccer league, that's going to be starting up too. So things are coming back.
Yeah, all of them are coming back, and then so are ours.
We'll see how long they last.
Golf is coming back.
NASCAR doesn't care about anybody.
No, NASCAR doesn't care but neither does UFC, and that's why I like them so much.
Oh yeah, yeah, UFC. Yeah, they were trying to get things going when everything was still like. This all started.
Well, so I was
to build like their own island and everything.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, how happy is Dana White that ESPN like, no, man, you're not buying your own island. We're shutting it down right now because we're the one paying you all the money. So you're going to go on and you're going to tell everybody that you're shutting it all down. And then what, 2 weeks later, now it's like, oh, yep, sports can come back. Certain sports that want to come back can come back. So it's like, how happy is he that he didn't go out and buy an entire island and then start setting it all up just to find out that before they even got to fight for the first time, they can already go back to the way that they were doing it before.
He can afford it. I'm not worried about Dana White spending too much money on stupid things.
Well, that's true.
He paid CM Punk to fight in the UFC. So, all right, on today's episode, joining us a little later is former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker. He shared some interesting stuff about the Vikings' current secondary and some of the guys they had added in the draft. So make sure to check that out a little later in the episode. But we're going to start this episode by going over an article that I wrote for thevikingage.com. That, you know, tried to figure out what the Vikings 53-man roster could look, you know, if they had to make cuts tomorrow. And Eric saw that, and he wanted to go over more, like, the financial aspects of it to show how the Vikings are still going to be fine and have plenty of cap space to make other moves by keeping the guys that I selected for this 53-man roster. So who were some of the notable guys that you saw that either made or didn't make the cut in my 53-man way too early projection?
Yeah, I love the 53 man. It's kind of that. It's kind of a perfect timing for it because I was just trying to figure out exactly where the Vikings are at for cap space going into the 2020 season because I was writing a blog on how we should extend Harrison Smith immediately, and that led me to the Vikings numbers a little bit and SpotTrack and OverTheCap.com, which are the two major salary cap websites for all sports.
You don't use Twitter? You don't use just go by what everyone says on Twitter?
I should. I mean, they're all very smart over on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I went, and they both had the Vikings at just a little over 12. And when you look at how they add up their numbers, SpotTrack does a really good job of putting literally every number that they use to get to their total. And it came out as 12, but they also have that this doesn't count, and this does count, and this doesn't count, and that counts, and this doesn't. And so it's just kind of hard to read. So when I wrote my blog last night, it was kind of the Vikings could have as much as $12 million available. That's what these two websites are showing. And then I had some people come back and say, no, you're an idiot. It's more around zero. Some people said seven.
More around zero?
Yes, I had some people come back and say zero. So I went back in there and I was like, all right, so how is SpotTrack? How is Over the Cap? How are they calculating all of their totals, and how are they getting to the point they are, and why can't we get to an exact number to give everybody? Well, it essentially comes down to right now there's like 90 players on every roster, and the only way to really understand where the cap is, or where the salary cap is, not the salary cap, but where we're going to be against the salary cap, is to have it narrowed down to your usual roster. The salary cap only counts against your first 51 players. So you have to take that 93 and you have to trim it down to 53. And then the last two guys on your roster that are the cheapest don't count against the salary cap, is essentially how the NFL is working it. So it was perfect timing for you to release your 53 today, because then I didn't, because I don't know anything about football. Remember, we've definitely established that. So since you had your 53, I didn't have to know anything about football. I could just take your 53 and then put it up against the salary cap. And so you had a couple cuts in there that some people might find surprising, guys like Shamar Stephen. But for the most part, it was a very, and if you're going to do it way too early, this is the best way to do it anyways. It was
Kirk Cousins.
Rather bland. No offense.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, well, you know, so, I don't think anything's going to be very surprising, because the Vikings had a lot of departures this offseason, more than they have normally. So a lot of the guys they brought in, they just need for either depth or just to give them playing time.
I agree with you. I think it is going to be more bland. Like, unless something happens, like Elfline gets cut.
And the Vikings
they
don't
trade
really,
Anthony
they,
Harris. They yeah, cut they Riley they, Reiff.
They don't really cut a lot of their draft picks, if you know, from like first to even like fifth round. Like, those guys, they usually give like at least a year to try and figure things out. Whether it's keeping them on the active roster, on the practice squad. So, I mean, they have, this year's totally different because they have 15 draft picks that they have to figure out where to put. And then another, I believe 12 or 11 undrafted free agents that they also have to see if, you know, they matter, and to deal with this whole off season of not being able to do practices, you know, face to face or have OTAs. So I think it's going to be boring for a lot of teams just because of everything they have to deal with this off season, as far as not being able to do things as normal and not being able to, you know, get some of these younger guys reps. A lot of teams are probably just going to play it safe and go with either veterans or guys that they know can at least do something and or do the right things on the field and not make too many mistakes. So other than guys like Shamar Stephen and Chad Beebe, I didn't really make a whole lot of dramatic cuts. Like, even with, I was thinking about maybe like letting Mike Boone go, but then I was like, well, Dalvin and Madison, they were both, you know, they both experienced injuries last year, and the Vikings like to run the ball, so they want to make sure they have as much depth there as possible. So same thing with the corners. They got they don't know how their like cornerbacks are going to set up, so they have to have as much in there as possible to figure out where everyone's going to fit best. So
well, not only is it what you picked, I think a lot of those more likely to happen than any other scenario. But for this exercise specifically, it was nice because if I'm looking for a baseline to try and figure out where the Vikings are at right now against the cap, well, your baseline isn't a very good baseline if you're cutting guys who, you know, aren't likely to get cut, or, you know, it would be kind of a, if I was going through your list and going, I don't see that guy getting cut or that guy getting cut or that guy getting cut, then it would throw off all the baseline numbers. So the fact that it is a little bit more generic, so to speak,
bland,
is better for the exercise anyways. So when I,
and I even mentioned, speaking of, you know, someone who could free up, you know, a lot of cap space, I mentioned that, you know, if the Vikings feel comfortable enough with Ezra Cleveland as their starting left tackle, then, and it's very possible that they could, you know, get rid of Riley Reiff and free up like $10 million in cap space, and then they're good to go. They can extend Dalvin. They can sign another free agent or whoever. So that's gonna be a big, probably the biggest thing to watch this summer. Whenever they get on the field, it's just like how confident they feel in Ezra Cleveland just coming in and being a starter right away.
Oh, for sure. And like, so when with your 53-man roster, we came back with like $9 million.
Yeah.
As of right now in salary cap space, like $9.2 million. And that's your 53-man. And then Brandon Dillon made your 53-man. And Brian Cole, the second. Made your 53 man. Those two guys don't count against the cap, so that's like $1.2 million because they're both about $600,000 guys. That doesn't count against the cap. So with your 53 man roster, if we were to cut it down to 53 today, we would have around $9.3 million available.
Oh, man, no money at all.
Well,
what
and
are
that's
they gonna do?
And that's the thing. So like, let's say we let's say we extend Dalvin Cook. The Harrison Smith. So the Dalvin Cook thing, that's going to add money because right now he's only like what, a 1 point something million against the cap.
Yeah, like two or one and a half or two, I think.
Yeah, I have it up right here. I'm trying to find him, but of course I can't find him because oh, there it is, 2.021 million.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's $2 million against the cap, and I believe the number that we've been talking about is kind of like 6 or 7. So that probably adds 4. So now we're down to 5 with the Dalvin extension. So I think by doing this, what I've come out, I think the Vikings are up to one more thing before the season starts. And I don't know. I would.
As far as like freeing up or
I think
freeing up more cap space?
Well, either freeing
like
up more cap space.
Rescind the Anthony Harris tag, or even if they give Anthony Harris a longer deal, they can lower his cap hit for this year too. So
well,
that's
just
thing
it. They really only need like one more deal to get back up to the 10-15 million dollar mark if they want to move things around. They essentially have $5 million to $20 million depending on what they want to do.
If they go into the season with $5 million, I think that's fine. It's not like there aren't a lot of teams that, you know, sign big time free agents in the middle of the season. That hardly ever happens, if at all.
Well, yeah, it'll be nice. It'd be nice for them to keep about $5 million handy, just because you never know who's gonna get cut cut times. I mean, especially on the offensive line, offensive linemen become too expensive so quick.
Right.
Like we could see a guard that is way better than what we have right now come available, and $5 million could be enough to get him. Whereas if the Vikings feel like they still need to add more, they need to find something, find some money. They have Riley Reiff. They have Anthony Harris. They've got a smaller options. Extending Harrison Smith would give them, you know, 4 or 5 extra million. So they have options all the way from freeing up, hey, we need to free up $15 million, and we need to free up just $3-5 million. I'm just, well, the cap is a myth. What can we say? That's pretty much what we've come down to in the last month of these shows, is that the cap is just a myth. It just doesn't exist. And especially when you have a guy like Rob Brzezinski, who can just move things around here, you move them around there, and before you know it, SpotTrack thinks you have $12 million available when most people thought you had zero.
Yeah, the Vikings always have options with, mm-hmm. with Brzezinski and Spielman. They know what they're doing, and this happens every year. They're like, oh, I don't have any money. How do they sign these guys? They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Before we get to the interview, there's just one quick question I wanted to ask Eric. You can just give me a short answer, because this seems to be floating around, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be going from the Packers soon, because he drafted a quarterback, so obviously he's going to do the same thing Favre did and come play for the Vikings.
I would.
So here's my, yeah, obviously. So here's my would you rather. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers as the Vikings QB only for the next 2 years, or Kirk Cousins as the QB for the next 6 years?
See, this, I saw, you sent me this question before we started the show. So,
yeah.
So that everybody knows that there's no surprises here.
Spoiler alert.
I think a lot of people would rather have 0 years of Cousins. That's the one issue with your question,
zero.
Is that adding more years to the end of Cousins' deal, I don't know if that helps the argument of keeping Kirk Cousins around. I would take Aaron Rodgers. I'd take Aaron Rodgers.
Only for 2 years.
Well, yeah, because Cousins is what he is, and he's definitely not going to be anything more than what he is after his contract is done 2 or 3 years from now. So you can get the same Kirk Cousins for the next 3 years, and then the same Kirk Cousins for the 3 years after that, or you can get Aaron Rodgers, which is arguably a top three, top five quarterback at this point in his career, if you can actually surround him with pieces that can catch the ball, that have a name that people knew before they landed on the team, then I mean, you have elite. Like, nobody is going to call Kirk Cousins elite. I would rather take 2 years of elite quarterback play than 6 years.
Somebody will.
Of,
wasn't, well, Joe Flacco elite at one point in his career?
No, Joe Flacco
wasn't.
Was
Eli
never elite.
Eli Manning wasn't
no.
he elite? Yeah, you know?
he was elite. He was elite for a portion of his career in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but that's so, all elite he was. But yeah, hey, I'd take Rodgers for two.
Anything can happen, because Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl. Isn't that what people always say? Trent Dilfer, he won a Super Bowl, so anything can happen.
I am all on the Kirk Cousins winning a Super Bowl with the Vikings bandwagon, but I'm only on that bandwagon because there is nobody else in the NFC who's gonna go and say, I am prime Tom Brady and this is my conference. I am prime,
maybe Tom Brady.
I am prime Drew Brees. Prime Tom Brady. Prime Drew Brees.
He's with a, you never know, Tom Brady's with a new team. He's got all these really good receivers, got this little fire under his butt now to like prove people wrong. So,
yeah, did he get somebody give him an arm that's only 25 years old?
He could probably afford it.
Yeah, he could afford it. Let's see him do that and then I'll start believing.
Before we get to the interview with Mr. Eric Crocker, I mentioned in the beginning that we are brought to you by BetOnline. So with currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you would be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. And you can still bet on TV shows like Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol. You can even bet on stock prices. So, all open 24 hours a day and all online. Just use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. And we also have another sponsor by the name of Blue Chew. So, guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds, get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend any time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. So here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, and you just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com and use the promo code BLUEWIRE. All right, so that's it for us without anybody else joining us. But next, coming up next, is an interview with a former NFL cornerback, as someone likes to say in Minnesota radio. Eric Crocker, he spent some time with the New York Jets, and he also spent some time in the Arena League, and we asked him about that. So enjoy the interview, and until next week when we talk about the Vikings schedule, because that's coming out soon. We will find out.
Because we care so much about that.
We'll find out when the Vikings are playing the Bears on Monday night, because they do every year in Chicago. So, and we will find out when they're playing at night in Seattle, because they do every year as well. So until then, we'll talk to you later. All right, joining us now is someone who is a former NFL defensive back who now spends his time covering and analyzing football like the rest of us nerds for the Crocker Report. So, welcome to the show, Mr. Eric Crocker.
Oh, man, thanks for having me on. And, yeah, I'm a nerd like you guys, man. It's really kind of an obsession, I guess, now, you know, with football. I'm a nerd like you guys.
All right, we're just going to get right into it. So since the Vikings drafted Jeff Gladney in the first round this year, we've heard a lot about how Gladney is he's a Mike Zimmer guy. So what do you think makes Gladney such a good fit for, you know, how Zimmer for Zimmer and how he likes his secondary to play?
You know, I've noticed that they've done a lot of versatile stuff with their guys on the outside, a lot of press, single high stuff. I know they run some off stuff. You know, you're losing your two starting corners, you know, the guys that have been starting corners for the last few years with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Wayne. So, you know, kind of filling those shoes, you know, it's kind of tough, right, especially with how well Rhodes had played, not last year, but, you know, previously. Gladney, you know, obviously his build is not like the other two guys I just mentioned. He's much smaller, but he plays big. He's extremely scrappy. The only thing I'd say issue that I've had with Gladney is that I felt like at the line of scrimmage sometimes he just gave too much ground. He does what we call feather technique or inch technique, where he inches out. Sometimes he just inches out too much. But I have seen him stand in there and be more aggressive and physical at the line of scrimmage. And when he does that, it looks amazing. And if he can be that more times than not, then, I mean, that'd be huge, huge, huge for the Vikings. And that's something you can learn. What's hard to learn is, you know, the quick feet that he has, the really good sense of direction that he has, the ability to play the ball in the air. Like, those things are kind of hard to coach up. The things that you can coach up, you know, him feathering out the line of scrimmage, man, that's something that he can definitely fix in. And if he does that, man, he'll be good everywhere else, playing press, playing off. He'll be a really good asset for Zimmerman in that single high that you guys like to run.
And if any coach can get that out of him, the teachables like you talked about, it's definitely Zimmer. So tell me a little bit about our second cornerback that we took, Cam Dantzler. What do you think about him? Because he's gotten a lot of mixed reviews from a lot of scouts around the NFL.
So he's the opposite, right? He's the opposite of Gladney. He's extremely tall, long, but not really like long arms. But he, you know, he's close to like a 6'3 guy. And you look at him on film, he looks tall and very lean. I think the one thing that kind of stood out to me about him is he has very good movement skills. And a lot of times for guys that are taller like that, they tend to be a little bit stiffer. I didn't really get that from him. Now, the one knock on him, you know, that everybody's going to bring up is that 40 time, right? Anytime you run a 4-6-4 at the combine, Everyone's going to talk about that. I think what he kind of reminds me a little bit of is the Keller Witherspoon who's on the 49ers. And that was somebody I was high on coming out. Now, Witherspoon tested much better. He ran a 4.45 at the combine. And Dantzler, you know, he ran a 4.64. But there are some similarities there with how they have really good movement skills. I think their feet are nice. I think the thing that, you know, Dantzler, if you really want to know about him, go back and watch that game against LSU. I thought he competed extremely well. And maybe guarded Jamar Chase better than anyone I've seen all year. And I've watched a lot of film, and Chase had his way with a lot of DBs. I think Dantzler actually got the best of him. So you know, there's definitely the ability there. I think, can you hear me?
What? Oh. Yep. Yeah, we can speak to hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's definitely the ability there. I think the biggest knock, like I said, he just ran slower. But I didn't see a slow corner on film. I didn't see that. So it was kind of weird with their defense. Like, they rotated corners there. So sometimes you see him in, sometimes you wouldn't see him. But when he played, I liked him. Just that top-end speed, that's probably going to be the biggest question mark. And if you can't run in the NFL, you're going to have trouble, especially 4.64. Like, nobody really you don't see corners really excel at the NFL level that run 4.64. So hopefully that's not his true speed and it's something closer to what he ran at that little pro day thing that he did.
The fake pro day, yeah.
I don't know if he's that guy. I don't know if he's that guy. I think he's better than that 4.64 that
didn't run. Well, and that begs the question. So obviously, like, you know, you can even look at wide receivers, and you had the Tyler Johnsons of the world who didn't run at the combine, and then the pandemic took over, and a lot of people are, I don't want to say blaming, but they point to that as to possibly why he slipped on the draft board. You look at Dantzler, he ran his 4.640 at the combine, and then, you know, his pro day time that he took. But would you recommend that even in a scenario where, like, things couldn't go crazier than they went this year with the pandemic, right? Would you still recommend going forward that, look, if you don't think that you're going to run a 4.4 or better at the combine, then wait until your pro day when everything is in your favor. There's just no point. You'd rather not run it at all than run a 4.6. So would you recommend guys like Dantzler taking a step back and staying away from the 40 unless you know you're going to run it really well at the combine? Or do you like them to go for it so that you don't run into a situation like Tyler Johnson did as a wide receiver who didn't get to run it at all?
I think selfishly it's like, hey, I want to see these guys run at the combine because we want to get to one that laser time. But if I'm a guy and I know I'm not a blazer, I'm going to run at my pro day. And we saw, you know, T. Higgins ran his pro day and ran a 4.59, I believe, which still is like, oh, man, that's slow. You know, it's not on the fast end of things. But what would he have timed if he ran at the combine, if he ran a 4.59 at his pro day, you know?
Yeah.
So he could have been like 4.66 or something, and that really would have knocked him in. You know, he still kind of got drafted pretty high. He was like, what, the 33rd pick? That's really good for somebody that ran a 4.59. I think he does play a little bit faster on film. But, I would suggest that if you don't feel like you're going to really blaze and whatever you're testing at while you're training, if it's not ideal, definitely wait until your pro day.
So you mentioned a little bit Xavier Rhodes in the earlier part of our conversation. He was an all-pro in 2017, but then his play basically fell off a cliff in 2018 and 2019. How do you think something like this happens? And maybe what is your theory to why Rhodes went from one of the top corners in the NFL to pretty much one of the worst in such like a short period of time?
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons. One, I think the one thing that kind of stands out a little bit, right, is he kind of been banged up over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I want to say, 2018. He definitely wasn't the healthiest, you know, cornerback. No. So that's one thing that can definitely contribute to, you know, someone having a down year. Now, the other thing is, and you never know how this is going to play out, how is this guy going to work once he gets paid? And he got the big payday, and, you know, hey, you know, I have all these millions of dollars now, you know, look at a lot of that up front in their contract. Is he going to still work as hard as he did when he was trying to get that payday? And those things you don't know. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but, you know, because like I said, obviously there have been some injuries and stuff as well. But that is something that can definitely, like, hey, if I have everything that I want, what am I really working towards? And hopefully that's not his mindset, right? Hopefully, I don't know him personally, so I don't even want to put that on him. But that is something that can come into play with a lot of guys. You don't know how they're going to work once they get that money.
For sure.
So let's talk a little bit about the Vikings secondary right now going into the 2020 season. Obviously, they had a lot of work to do in the draft. They lost pretty much all of their biggest playing time cornerbacks going into the offseason. So where do you, after the draft, I don't want to say rank, but what do you grade the Vikings secondary? What are you worried about? What do you feel confident about going into next year?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just they're so young. So, you know, you have but I guess the thing that kind of cancels that out is you guys have such a good defensive-minded coach. So if your coach can drill it into these young dudes' heads, like, hey, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, and they can kind of, you know, catch on to it, and they have a good leader, right? You guys have Harrison Smith, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like when you have a Harrison Smith who's a leader, and he's basically a coach on the field. You know, he does everything right. Trust me, I've watched him and, you know, play against my 49ers the last couple of years. And I know he picked us off, week one, 2018. He's very talented. He's one of really, I think, an underrated safety in this league. He's really like a top three safety, but nobody really talks about him like that. But you guys probably do. You guys probably hear it a lot. But
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you have a guy like him in your secondary, and then you have your coach, they can help kind of speed up this running curve with these kids, and really you just got to get them all on the same page and get them to play sound football. And again, young but very talented. Even Mike Hughes, right? I mean, did he have the torn ACL? No, that was rookie year. You know, so now. Okay, now I'm pretty sure he's fully recovered from there. And now that you got to be the guy. And I know you guys, have him playing in the slot some as well?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so you know there's some versatility there. And we'll see how you guys, you know, want to line him up with guys like Cam Dantzler, Holden Hill is, you know, he's like purely an outside guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jeff Gladney might have some positional versatility. But I really like the group. I was looking at it like, man, this is a very talented group. A lot of talent, a lot of different flavors, right, with the size, the long guys, the short, quicker guys, but they're just so young. So that's the only thing you don't know. But again, I'll circle right back to where I started with. Really good coaching, really good leader in Harrison Smith. I think it can all come together, and that can actually be a strength once again, you know, because it kind of fell off last year a little bit.
All right, so I think we'll end it on this final question, a little bit more about you. Just if there was one team secondary right now that you would want to play for in the 2020 season, who would you want it to be?
Oh, man, there's two teams that immediately come to mind. Obviously, the 49ers, and the other team is the Redskins, and really both for the same reason.
The Redskins?
Redskins have a mean pass rush. They might have some other weird stuff going on, especially on the offensive side. They have a quarterback. Like, I don't know, is he good? Is he not? Like, do they even like him? Ron Rivera, is that his guy? Probably not. But defensively, they got a pass rush. So I know I don't have to cover for that long. So both of those teams, man, like, you know, as long as you have good eye discipline and you understand your reads, your concepts, and what the defense is asking you to do, those are the defenses you want to play in because I don't have to cover forever. Obviously, there's going to be like a play or two where, you know, or some plays where a quarterback buys time. But with these guys, with those guys up front, especially those 49ers guys, how they rush the passer, I want to play for them. I want to play with Chase Young and Montez Sweat and Payne, and I want to play with all those guys on my side. So, yeah, give me the teams with the good pass rushers.
Eric,
before
we let you go, I have two quick questions to let you go on.
Oh, boy.
The first one is, obviously, you're a big 49ers fan. We have, I don't want to say, well, yeah, kind of the same issue, in my opinion. All right, you guys have Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if he's enough to get you guys over the top. A lot of people say the same thing about us with Kirk Cousins. Is Jimmy Garoppolo enough to win you guys a Super Bowl? Obviously, you got there last year, but I would argue it wasn't because of him. So is he enough to get you over the top?
Yeah, I really feel like the 49ers in the entire year, I noticed this in the playoffs. The 49ers and the Vikings are like carbon copies of each other with how they play, how they want to win, their offensive scheme. Maybe that has to do with Kyle Shanahan kind of coming up a little bit under Kubiak. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Jimmy Garoppolo, the one thing that gives me hope, one, I mean, obviously this was like his first full season. He's older, but this is his first full time like starting. I think he's tough. Like he's tough. And when you're tough like that, I think you can kind of battle through some of the things. Now, is he going to have more of a grasp on the offense? That's the biggest thing, right? Because sometimes there were times where you could see, is he a little fed up mentally? Like, does he really know? Is he kind of predetermining some of his throws? You saw some of that. So if he can cut back on some of that super predetermining things and, like, no matter what, I'm throwing it there, I think you'll see a much improved Jimmy Garoppolo. But there were some times, man, where he played some really high-level football. And then there was something like, oh, man, it's a little head-scratching. And I'm pretty sure you guys saw the same thing with Kirk Cousins. I remember watching, and it was like, man, you got Stephon Diggs pouting. Stephon. Yeah. Pouting on the sideline.
And wait, what? He did that?
He catches three
balls. I don't remember that.
He never did that. Three balls, four touchdowns,
right? Yeah, he never did that.
Like up and down. Right? Is that what he said?
Yeah, Diggs never did that. He never pouted.
Never do that. He never.
No, he. No.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And we'll see how that works in Buffalo. Like,
Have fun with Josh Allen.
You guys are like, what are you upset about?
Yeah.
You guys got pissed off to Buffalo. You don't get the luxury to play indoors. You know, for the home game now. In you know, November, December, January. Now you're playing outdoors in the cold. So you know. We'll see. That was very interesting, but, you know, he's a baller. We'll see how it works out. But what's gonna make Diggs happy? And it's like, is he only getting the rock? So that's one thing, you know. But that's Buffalo's problem now. So, yeah, but back to Cousins, yeah, a lot of the same thing. And I guess only time will tell. But I will say, so far from what we've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of high moments, some lower moments. But he definitely has shown all the ability. Now, can he just, in 2020, just be a little bit more consistent?
All right, last one because I said I had two. All right, so you won an Arena League championship, didn't you?
Oh.
Yes.
So, first off, what was it like to win an Arena League championship? And secondly, what was the biggest difference in playing cornerback in the Arena League compared to a regular football league?
Oh, man. Well, I'll start with what the biggest difference was. We're playing, like, Arena League. You know, sometimes you have to go against that high emotion. I wasn't a middle guy. I wasn't a middle man. That's typically a guy that's a little more nimble, quicker feet, better change of direction. And I wasn't, like, terrible, but I'm really more of, like, an outside corner.
Sure.
But it was different just kind of getting used to sometimes having to guard that high motion, you know, kind of having to use the angles a little different because it's a smaller field. So that part was a little different. And when I got to the NFL, because I came from the Arena League to the New York Jets, I had to get used to kind of like getting used to
grass.
Playing off, but a guy not running full speed at me. So it kind of changed like how I backpedaled out. Like, so that was like a transition. Starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a transition. So that's that part. Now, as far as winning the championship, that was the first championship I ever won in my entire life. It really changed, like, my outlook on really kind of what it took to win. Like, it really takes a different level of focus, dedication to the game, attention to detail, extreme, like, discipline. Like, it took all that to be able to win. And, I mean, we felt like, because of how they kind of ran a tight ship, it probably was similar to, like, maybe how the Patriots felt. I feel like even though I was one of the guys, I was coming off of a year, a previous season where I was on more of a losing team. I had 11 interceptions. I had a great year. And now, like, I got brought in to be one of the guys, but every week I felt like, damn, am I going to get cut? because like the expectations were so high, and what we did was so we had adjustments to every little thing. I'm like, how is it? Arena football this is difficult? But we figured it out, and everybody, you know, did whatever it took to win, and we won a championship. So now when I watch, you know, I see the 49ers, I go to their practices, and I see how they're practicing, and I'm like, and I don't know if these guys are practicing like winners, but it worked for them. So, but yeah, it was really cool winning the championship.
That's awesome.
Is that all you got, Eric?
That's it. That's my last one.
All right. Well, before we let you go, other Eric, our guest Eric, just let people know where they can follow you on Twitter and your website and everything like that.
Yeah, man, you guys can follow me at Eric_Crocker. That's my main page. And then I also have my website about to drop, and it's called The Crocker Report. So CrockerReport.com. It should be up. Hopefully this weekend I'll start dropping some content. It's going to be really cool. I don't think there's going to be anything like it with how myself, my team that I put together, we're going to be breaking down a ton of draft prospects. We're going to follow guys into the NFL, right? Follow up articles on them. We're going to have video breakdowns, all that good stuff is going to be really cool. So make sure you guys follow Crocker Report on Twitter and at Eric_Crocker.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, man. Anytime. And if we if 49ers see the Vikings in the playoffs again, I'll have to come back on.
Hopefully. Hey, it was a good game in the first half. Yeah. So we don't need to talk about the second half. Yeah. Well, were the Vikings leading? I think they're leading in the first half, weren't they? Yeah. Or was it like a 3-point game?
It was 7-7 because Keller Witherspoon fell down on the goal.
Yeah, and Diggs got that touchdown.
Vikings can't really move the ball. Yeah. I think they got a field goal because Jimmy threw that interception. He just didn't see Kendrick. But outside of that, the Vikings they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, they let everybody into the playoffs now, so we should be just fine.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So it's going to be a round robin.
Does that start now?
Yeah, it does. 7 teams per conference.
That's
yeah. All right. Thanks again for joining us, Eric, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Eric.